right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Volume 1, Issue 0 of Marvel Champions Monthly. This is a monthly podcast discussing the soon-to-be-released Fantasy Flight game, or Fantasy Flight LCG, Marvel Champions, coming out this October. So this game's not yet out, but all of us here are super hyped. So I'm Kennedy Hawk, one of the hosts here. I have two awesome co-hosts. I'll let them introduce themselves. So we'll have Crimson kick us off.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Crimson. I'm also one of the hosts here. I also do the TSS or TTS mod and some videos online.
And then Lester?
I'm Lester Crowe. That's a pen name. I'm your resident Canadian that all podcasts need. And I'm super excited for this game.
Yeah, we're glad to have you both here. Today is our super secret issue 0. It's going to be all about the podcasters. We're going to do some practice editing and interacting, trying to get to know each other and figure out this this voice podcasting thing. So stick around, learn about our first appearances or our golden and silver ages with respect to card games and Marvel. So the first topic we're going to talk about is our history with card gaming. Marvel Champions LCG is a new living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. So a living card game means it's not collectible. It's going to grow over time by them adding cards. But whenever you buy a pack, you know what's in it, which is really cool. So we can each talk about what our history is with card gaming. So Crimson, we'll start with you. What's your history with card games?
I am probably your resident card gamer. I have played Magic since the very beginning, started with Spellfire and Magic back in 93. I have played easily over 150 different card games. Yeah, I played a lot of card games, and I enjoy card games. It is pretty much my hobby of choice.
What's your favorite all-time card game?
You know, Magic is by far the best card game in a lot of aspects, and it's an original card game. But I'd have to say that my favorite card game is probably the original Star Wars by Decipher. Very complicated and strategic card game and just very fun.
That game was awesome. I love that game. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, that was one of my first games growing up as a kid. I remember going to like card game stores, and I was the little kid that had no idea how to do anything. So everybody would just give me all their leftover commons and I had to like make something out of it, but it was awesome.
Treated it like a trading card instead of a CCG, right?
Pretty much. So Lester, what about you? What's your card game history?
Pretty extensive, unlike Crimson's. I have to put one caveat on something you said. I would actually say that living card games are hyper collectible because the format pretty much trends on people collecting every single one of the sets. So you're not chasing any rares or anything, but the people who really love these games, like Arm Horror, Lord of the Rings, the card game, that Game of Thrones card game I played for a long time, those were all, like, everybody who I know who plays them pretty much owns the whole set. So I just wanted to say that. But yeah, I played Magic for, I don't know, since 1995 maybe. And I've been in and out of that for a long time, mostly digitally now because I don't have space or the money to really play that game anymore. And then all sorts of different card games have come and gone through my life. The last one I really tried to play was the Game of Thrones LCG from Fantasy Flight, but it's very difficult to teach people that game. Especially people who I'm surrounded with now, because they're not really gamers, and that's quite complicated. So this seems like a breath of fresh air. Marvel Champions seems like a breath of fresh air, because from what I'm gathering, it's quite simple to teach people, but because of its simplicity, it's going to have a lot of depth, that like so many layers that they can put upon that. And it should be easy to teach non-gamers how to play. So I'm really excited, if I haven't already said that twice.
Yeah, and on the pricing scale, I much prefer LCGs. Like, I still play Magic. I play Magic Arena. And every 3 months when a new set comes out, I'm still spending $250 on Magic Arena. So that way I can have all the cards right away, because I do not like wanting to make a deck and then be like, oh, I don't have the cards for that. No, I need play sets of everything I play.
It's guys like you that make me be able to play Arena for free, and I appreciate that.
Yes. I am your whale.
tuning in on the LCG topic, I'll agree with what you had to say. I know I started with one LCG and it quickly became six or seven. And now I think I have, you know, all the packs for six or seven of these games because they're so addictive once you get to them. You're not chasing rares, but then you end up chasing old packs from the old games that you want to play after you learn about them. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, totally. I loved that Warhammer 40K Conquest game. And I collected the whole thing, and then it just stopped. And that was, oh man, that was heartbreaking because I thought that was a really well-designed game. And I just love that intellectual property.
I remember the original version of that from the actual CCG. Definitely could tell that they adapted from that one. And man, Warhammer 40K card games are always fun to play. Sometimes they just have mechanics that just don't mesh well, though.
Yeah, it's just a fantasy play game's lost the license for 40K, and I think they would have continued to pursue that game because I thought that the mechanics for it were brilliant.
Yeah, I think they would have ended up doing a second edition like they did with Game of Thrones, and I would have really enjoyed that.
Yeah, speaking on that digital card game front and 40K, I've been playing the Horus Heresy Legions game. It's sort of like Hearthstone. And that game is super fun, man.
Yep, same here.
Oh, yeah. So my history of card games, it's pretty long, but it goes through kind of like Crimson, hundreds of games, I feel like. I started playing Magic was the first game I played, and then I got into the Star Wars Decipher game. I dabbled in Pokemon as a kid. My little brothers played Yu-Gi-Oh, so I was forced to learn it so that I could babysit them and make them play card games, which I guess was fine for me. But I've sort of played card games for a long time. The first big card game I got into that I actually started like traveling to tournaments was the Versus System card game by Upper Deck. So it was a Marvel-based, well, it had Marvel and DC, but I played Marvel stuff, so it's kind of a Marvel card game for me because I'm a Marvel nut. So I played a lot of the Versus game. I played the new version of the Versus game. And then I played Overpower for a while. That was a really fun game back in the day. I played pretty much every LCG that Fantasy Flight has had, except for I didn't play the Warhammer Invasion one. That's the only one. I have a pack for it, but I've never played it.
That game's super fun.
Yeah. Overpower is in my top five card games of all time. I still have all my Overpower cards, and I love that game.
Yeah, it was just so fun. It had that 90s X-Men vibe, right? So yeah. You'd always start singing the theme song when you'd play, and then...
Definitely. And it had characters that we don't even think about nowadays. And also, we have characters nowadays that we would have never even thought about back then. Like, Ant-Man was never in Overpower.
Didn't Decipher release a Lord of the Rings game? Did anybody play that? Because I vaguely remember playing that and really enjoying that as well.
Yep. Yes, they did. And you... it was like their Star Wars where you would have two decks. You'd have, you know, the Fellowship and, you know, a bad guy's deck. And then you would have, you know, when you sat down to play, you'd flip a coin to see who got to choose what deck first. And then you do a 2 out of 3. Yeah, I played that too.
Awesome.
As far as the LCGs go, my favorite competitive LCG was the Star Wars LCG because I really liked the pod-based deck building. Like you'd choose one card and it would come with five other cards attached to it. So it forced you to make really hard deck building decisions. And that's one thing I'm really excited about for this game is that there's kind of this pod-based hero mechanic. You pick a hero and some cards are stuck with them, whether they're good or bad. It gives Fantasy Flight the freedom, instead of balancing one card, they have to balance like a set. So you could have good and bad cards or all average cards.
Yes, I was very happy to see that being transferred over into this version.
Yeah, it's a really interesting design space. I never played the Star Wars LCG, but I like read up on it a lot. Because I've been a Fantasy Flight nerd for a long time. So it seems really interesting, and that's one of the things I'm also super hyped about. It'll make every single one of the heroes that they release just a breath of fresh air. And then if you want that kind of aspect, because I shouldn't use that word because it's part of the game, but just that like quadrant of game is going to make every hero fun to flavor. It's going to make every hero unique to play and fun to play, and I'm really excited to see where this game gets in a year.
And I'm really excited how when a new comes out, they're with like a pre-constructed deck. It reminds me of one of my other favorite card games. I don't know if you guys ever played Ashes or the Phoenix Born by Plaid Hat Games. Each expansion there was like a pre-constructed deck, and then you could take all the cards in that deck and shuffle them up with the other characters if you wanted, but you could pick a deck up and it would always be a pre-constructed, sort of well thought out deck, which is really neat.
One second there. I just think it's super awesome for introducing new players into the game because they don't actually have to have a core set. You can be sitting at your game shop and playing a game, and somebody can walk up, grab Miss Marvel or, you know, Doctor Strange or, you know, these characters when they come out and just sit down and play with you. That's like brilliant. It's brilliant design, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Fantasy Flight is really focusing on how they can keep people in the game, but more importantly, how new players will experience the game after, you know, a core set and five character packs and a deluxe pack. I think that is a huge, huge boon for this game to be able to go in and just pick up, you know, a Thor pack and be like, I'm going to play this with you guys. Is that cool?
Yeah, because like with Lord of the Rings card game or Game of Thrones card game, now trying to get into it fresh is really difficult. There's out of print products, and it's just there's such a depth and there's such a broad range of things. It's hard for new players to kind of navigate the space of getting into a game that's that fully developed.
Yeah, and not to mention the cost. Like if someone wanted to jump into L5R right now, you're looking at least two core sets plus one of every pack. And so you're walking away at $400 easy.
And how long is that game? I haven't played that one either.
Year and a half?
Really? Only a year and a half?
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago I got really into Lord of the Rings, but I had missed the first cycle and it was super out of print. So you'd like find these scalpers online, right, selling little LCG packs for like $100. But what I did is I just drove to a bunch of game stores in like Podunk towns, kind of out in the boonies compared to my major city I was living in, and I could find packs still on the shelves from the original release. It was really awesome.
Brilliant. You're like a picker, like those American pickers or whatever, but for card games. That's brilliant. I had the whole collection up through the third cycle, and then my ex-girlfriend, she just kept it when we broke up, and they were all Christmas gifts to me. So, needless to say, I'm kind of happy that her and I aren't a thing anymore.
All right, so now you guys know kind of what kind of card games we've played. What's everybody's history with Marvel Comics and Marvel Heroes? I can tell you guys my story first. It's kind of interesting. I started collecting comic books at a really young age. I had an uncle who was like my godfather, my sponsor father or something, and he used to get me a comic book once a month. So he started me with Archie Comics, Sonic the Hedgehog, #1, which surprisingly now is like one of my most valuable comics because apparently little kids didn't keep good care of their comics. But he was really smart and he bought me one to read and then one that he would put in a box to give to me when I grew up. So he ended up passing away like later in my childhood. So I inherited like a bunch of his old collection, but it just like spurred it in me to like read comics forever. And his favorite thing was Marvel. So I got super into Marvel right after that. And I've been like stuck to it ever since.
That's awesome, man. That's like a really cool story. So comics have always kind of been in the periphery of my life. I've had other family members and friends who are much bigger into collecting the comics, but I was exposed at a really young age to Spider-Man, the syndicated 1960s cartoon. And I loved that cartoon. And then I remember Impel released these like collectible cards. They weren't a card game, but they were Marvel cards. And you had like Mr. Sinister and Fantastic Four and all these things. They're really neat. They started, I think, in 91, and they went for 5 or 6 years with these, like, they were almost like baseball.
Yeah, cards. Was that Fleer?
I think it was, yeah, maybe. I thought it was Impel. I think it was Impel that did that. And I remember having binders full of these cards and making up stories of these characters that I didn't really read the comic books. Like, I kind of, here and there, I knew who some of these characters were, but mostly through these cards that my cousin had binders of these cards, and I'd flip through them and we'd make up stories because there was a little write-up on who the character was, and they had stats like how smart they were and what their power and agility and all that was. And that really captured my imagination. And then as I got older, all those like X-Men video games, and there were Spider-Man video games. And like before the movies came out, I really kind of sunk into it. And then as far as comics are concerned, a friend of mine had his brother donated him like a treasure chest full of the old Savage Sword of Conan. Those they're like the big newsprint ones. And we read the hell out of those. And that got me really interested in comic books. And then I got into like Alan Moore and Grant Morrison and a bunch of these other like weird writers. And but ever since the movies with Marvel, it's pretty much they've captured my imagination when I was a kid, and I'm stuck in Marvel. It's pretty interesting stuff.
It's funny you mentioned the stats. I remember those cards, and I remember me and my brothers like making up a card game based on the stats. So it's like super funny to hear about that. I completely forgot in the back of them they had like intelligence, dexterity, all sorts of things.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, and is that really cool old like late 80s, early 90s artwork that Marvel was just like the artwork was so good back then. And I guess I have to mention Spawn too, because that was a huge influence on me, because Todd McFarlane is an Alberta boy as well. And he drew really amazing covers for Marvel. With Spider-Man was his main thing. And then he released Spawn with the toys. And that was a big thing. I had quite a few of those comic books and action figures when I was a kid.
So Crimson, what's your history with this IP? What's got you excited about Marvel Champion?
Well, on the comic book thing, just to say, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, which anybody who knows comic books knows that Portland, Oregon's known for Dark Horse Comics with their Alien and Star Trek and Transformers series back in the day. That's really where my comic book knowledge came from. You know, going to the card shop back in the 90s, card shops were multi shops. They weren't just Magic the Gathering shops. They had sports cards. They had comic books. And you'd pick up a comic book while waiting for your friends to show up at the card shop to play some Magic. And I remember a lot of Dark Horse because it was a local comic production house. But I will say Spawn was the comic that really set me on fire on comics. Todd McFarlane is a genius.
I second that. Dark Horse did a run of Conan for a while too, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
I mean, they're kind of in the periphery of Marvel, Conan, so I, like, the child in me really hopes that they come out with Conan the Barbarian for Marvel Champions, but I doubt that that's the case. But I also want them to bring in Black Knight and Weird World and a bunch of stuff, but I think that might be asking too much.
Probably.
So who's your favorite obscure hero from the Marvel Universe?
I would have to say Black Knight, probably, for obscurity. And hero.
I mean, I guess she's not very obscure because she's considered one of the original X-Men, but Kitty Pryde, man.
Nice. Mine's an X-Men character, too. It was Cannonball from the New Mutants. For some reason, like, I've stuck with him through his whole like run history.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you who that character is.
I know. He's basically Nova, but he's a mutant. And there was some issue of X-Force when it first started with Cable. And I remember it was this issue talking about like why they needed to have like this special ops team. And he tried to explain it to Xavier, and he ends up slapping him in the face in the middle of the issue. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Tell him who's boss.
Yeah, the X-Men are pretty awesome. I think a lot of people are looking forward to the X-Men being in Marvel Champions.
Yeah, but I do think it is a safe bet where they're going with Avengers first, then working, you know, Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Kind of like same lines that the movies are doing. Go with the Avengers because that's what's popular right now, and work towards those other ones. Don't get me wrong, I want my Wolverine right now, but I understand it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah, I expect to see a lot of MCU influence. Whether the game is based on the MCU, it's more based on the comic books, based on the art and what we've seen. But I expect that FFG is smart enough to do some cross-promotion here.
Yeah, like that gives me hope, because they've already kind of spoiled Thor, saying that he'll be in like in that in the rules reference guide or the get started guide. They kind of spoiled that Thor is going to be in anyway, so he'll probably be right away. And then I'm really excited because Doctor Strange has a movie, a set that second movie in the works right now. So the chances of seeing him in the next year and a half or year are pretty high. And I think that character is just like, I just love that, that cosmic mystical aspect that, that Marvel's really leaned on.
I actually really expect Doctor Strange to show up sooner than later, mainly due to the fact that he brings a different playstyle than most of the other heroes with that mystical cosmic. I would not be surprised to see either Doctor Strange or Scarlet Witch as a hero in the first year.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Doctor Strange and then like a Doctor Doom pack, but they'll probably make Doctor Doom the Fantastic Four villain, because I can only assume that the Fantastic Four, they're such an iconic team that they're going to release it as opposed to individual heroes, right? Like, they work together. You want to play them as a team together. They'll probably all play off of each other really well. I mean, they're even more iconic in my mind than X-Men in the sense that they are like just those four core ones. Because it didn't, wasn't She-Hulk a member of the Fantastic Four for a while?
Yep.
And any other heroes? Or she's the only one that's kind of coming to my mind.
They had like an alternate four for a while. I think She-Hulk went in there. I think Spider-Man was in it for a couple issues or for a while. Crystal from the Inhumans has always been like a big presence in Fantastic Four. I'm trying to think from the Versus card game. There were a bunch of people that weren't just those four, but in the first couple sets, it was just different versions of the classic four.
We also do know that they will be, they will have hero packs, villain packs, and I believe the third one is going to be called expansion or campaign packs. This, we don't have any information on the third type of product right now, whether it's going to be just a big deluxe set like they do with Arkham Horror and Game of Thrones, or if it's going to be a story-driven story mode kind of box set.
That's what I'm really hoping for. I want something that connects the stories together. I know there's a fan one on BoardGameGeek you can check out. It's written pretty well. But I'm super excited to be able to connect missions together. I like the standalone mission idea, but that was one of my favorite things in Lord of the Rings, how you had things in cycles that were themed. Like, I'd love like a magic cycle where you get Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, and then some magical villains too.
So we could assume possibly then that if, because they are kind of leaning heavily on the Avengers, you got a lot of those characters early on, and they'll probably, the first few heroes will all be in that realm. Maybe the first box will be something like Thanos, even though that already happened in the MCU. It's still pretty fresh in people's minds. And maybe that if it's a campaign thing, then, you know, you get a few heroes, but then it's mostly based around like maybe a five different scheme story.
I could see the first campaign box being a Thanos box with introduction of some of the Guardians of the Galaxy's characters also into that fray.
Yeah, that makes sense actually, because those characters also kind of are a unit. So I'm just trying to think of what ones are units, but at the same time, like you said, and that's a good point, we have no idea how they're going to do these deluxe boxes, these larger boxes. They haven't spoiled that yet, and I can't wait for that. But I have no idea when that's going to be. You know, the Cap spoiler that they did just recently was interesting. It got me pretty stoked, because they talked about how they're putting extra, you know, one of every one of the aspects that's not in, like, that's not part of the main deck in there. And so that got me thinking, you know, you're going to probably want to collect all of the hero decks, but with this model, I don't think you'd have to collect all of the villain packs if you didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, some people don't like the having one card from the other aspects. I'm excited about it because I didn't want to only get leadership cards. I'm excited to see that you get some stuff for everybody.
And I like how the designer specifically stated that they were designed to go with Cap as he's playing a different aspect, you know. So that'll be neat.
Yeah, that's really cool. So it gives you some insight into how he's going to work with other non-predicted decks.
Yeah, and then you could still, they're still in the design space and deck building. You still have the opportunity to try it out with like Captain Marvel or whatever, you know. Like I think the way they've designed this game, it captured my imagination so quickly and like blew me away. I'm just deeply, deeply excited. And I sound like a little fanboy right now, but that's probably because I am.
With that aspect, being in the pre-constructed and then having some for each of the other aspects, that was a major make or break point for one of my playgroup people. Originally, he was seriously considering not playing it because he did not want to buy a pack and get nothing for it.
So you're saying, like, your buddy only wants to play aggression. And if, let's say, Miss Marvel comes out and she's protection or whatever, then he wouldn't want to play because it wouldn't be worth buying the Miss Marvel deck because he's not getting an aggression card? Is that what you're...
Yeah, a lot of it is like the way most of my friends play is by collecting everything. So he would buy that pack and literally get no cards out of it, was his concern. And now I pretty much knew that they were going to have to add in aspect cards from, and they've done that with every one of their living card games. So it would be a pretty hard break from norm to not include aspect cards from the other aspects. But yeah, it was something he was really concerned about. And for me, it didn't matter, like, because I play all the aspects.
Oh yeah, I mean, primarily I want to approach this game as a solo player and like explore playing as just one hero or playing two-handed or playing with a group, like a team of four heroes as just one player, because it's been designed kind of in that way. And it never even crossed my mind that someone would be upset that they didn't get a leadership card in a deck.
Oh yeah, dude. Everybody plays this game will be played in so many different ways, and that's the versatility of this game. So they really do need to cater to a large group who play differently.
And it also speaks to the idea that they could release a Captain America who is protection in, say, a year, when people are tired of the new Captain America, or in a box expansion, Civil War or something like that. They could have another Cap who's aggression or protection or something like that with a whole different suite of cards.
They could easily have, you know, Spider-Man Peter Parker and then Spider-Man Miles Morales. Or they could have Golden Age Spider-Man or, you know, New Age Spider-Man or Spectacular Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, you could almost have so many different Spider-Mans. That's one of the reasons why Spider-Man has its own multiverse. But definitely, like, I foresee at some point they will start doubling up on characters.
Yeah, Marvel's got a lot of villains that become heroes, right? Their characters are very dynamic. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with that.
Magneto.
I really like how they showed in the Green Goblin spoiler that Norman Osborn flip sides, like how they utilize that right off the bat. Very first one they're doing, they dispelled the idea that the villain won't ever do that. And that just opens up a whole nother can of worms in my head for where they can go with this game. It seems almost limitless because, like Crimson was talking about, and like you have a deep knowledge of like just the general intellectual property of Marvel. Like they could go forever. Like they could go until they lose the license, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, this game could go for a long time. One of the things I'm really excited about that we haven't talked about yet is how the heroes have this like foil or nemesis with them. I think that's so classic comic booky, where like there's always the bad guy looming in the background that might not be, you know, the main bad guy of the issue, but there's some guy you see the shadow of in the last frame. So I'm super intrigued who they're going to pick as like these nemesis characters for all the heroes, because it'll be hard. You don't want to have a nemesis that's also a villain, because then it's hard to play that hero with that villain. So like for Thor, I'd be really sad if Loki was his nemesis, because I want Loki as like a main villain, but I also want Loki sooner. So maybe I do want him as the nemesis.
But I think you could do it both ways, though. Like, they could, is there any, I guess there is the unique rule, right? Anything that's unique, there's only one of in the game ever at any point, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll make a way around it once they have to release it. They might just avoid it for a while.
Yeah, the design space on the game is so large that they could work their way around it for quite some time. And those Nemesis cards are brutal. You know, I was playing against Ultron with Black Panther, and I hit that Nemesis card, and it just wrecks you.
Yeah, Warmonger seems pretty gnarly, too. I read that card. Actually, I think I was watching it was either a video you were doing on Tabletop Simulator, or it might have been Team Covenant. I can't remember, but he seems, like, brutal. It just, ruin you in a hurry.
Yeah, I'm excited how the villains can be themed around different things. I guess we haven't talked about the core set a lot for people that don't know about the game. The core set comes with 5 heroes and then 4 different aspects. You can mash them up to make a deck, and it's got 3 different villains. One thing I was really excited about, like you said, there's villain packs and hero packs. I thought the villain packs were just going to be like a villain deck, but they come with, it seems like, either more than one scenario or a bunch of different modular sets that you can mix in, which I feel like what we've seen so far of the Marvel Champions setup, it's kind of like the modular set that you have for Arkham Horror and the other co-op LCG, Lord of the Rings, but it's a lot simpler here. You kind of take like the villain's main deck, one modular set, and then maybe a couple extra cards, but there's no sorting cards for an hour before you get to play the game, which is really exciting.
I love the idea of mashing them up, and you can be like, hey, I want to play this scenario, but with Hydra, you know, and you can like alter the difficulty level by, you know, putting in different what are they calling those, the scenario,
the modular sets or encounter sets or something?
Encounter sets, that's probably what it is. It's what it was for Lord of the Rings. So like, that's such a great idea. You could make the encounter deck bigger, so the chances of you running into the real baddies, you know, you could put 3 of those into the deck, and it would kind of dilute that encounter pool, but make it super varied, you know. I haven't got to play it yet. I haven't played it on Tabletop Simulator. I've just watched a bit and read a bunch about the game and thought endlessly about how it could go. So I can't wait. It releases in October sometime. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've got 2 sets on order because I'm super excited for the mashup cop you were talking about. We have like a little game table at work, and there's like 4 of us that play games every Thursday. The others aren't gamers. I just bring in games to make them play, and I'm super excited to like show up with this one day because we make Marvel jokes and like quote the movies all the time at work sarcastically. So I have a feeling like every Thursday for several months is just going to be a different modular set, or we're going to like switch heroes to see who plays who.
Yeah, it seems perfect for that kind of environment. Like easy level of entry, you know.
Easy level entry, easy deck building, fast to play. It's got like all the check boxes for like a perfect gateway LCG. Not that we want you to get addicted to all the other LCGs, but maybe we do.
Crimson, so you've played the game the most. Would you say they feel very heroic as your hero? Like, are you burning through the deck quick and you always have something to do? That's what it seems like from just viewing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I have definitely played a lot of the game already. Mainly just doing lots of testing and, you know, making sure the TSS or TTS mod is working properly, but not just that, just making videos. I try to make at least 1 video a week. And I would definitely say most of the heroes feel very spot on. They are each unique in their own way. You know, Iron Man is very different from Spider-Man. And with that aspect of how unique each character is, it gives me a lot of hope to see other characters in the future and to see what their mechanics are going to be like. Because there's so much design space around those heroes that they can do just about anything. And I love the fact that, you know, Iron Man Justice is way different than Iron Man Aggression.
Yeah, I'm like, there's so much modular customizability. Core set seems like endless fun, and then every month you're going to get a new pack to add to it, but it seems like I could play as a solo player through that core set for months without having to do anything additional, because there's all like, and even the aspects and everything, there's still deck building room, right? Like, you're not always taking every one of the protection cards. It's not like that's not how the core set's set up, or is that kind of the feeling you're
getting? I would say in the aspects, you're probably dropping about two, maybe three card names. So playset wise, that could be up to 9 cards sometimes. Once more sets, so a good example is once Captain America comes out and we have a lot more leadership cards, you will be making decks that will be different from other leadership decks by a long shot.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed playing online, I've done a lot of multiplayer online, and people play the game and build their decks so differently, which is kind of cool to see, because there's not a huge diverse card pool right out of the box. But I played with someone, we were both playing the same aspect, and it felt like we were playing completely different decks. And even just building your deck differently, people play it differently. So, I mean, I'm a very aggressive player. So if I have cards in my hand, I will spend them. I will not save them for the next turn. Wakanda Forever can be spent, and I will get it again next time through my deck. And I play with this other guy online, and I see him play one or two cards a turn. And it's so interesting because we both contribute so much to beating the villain, but we play completely differently. There's like this risk reward with how fast you burn your deck, which is really cool.
I'm in the same boat as you with that. I much prefer to get everything out of my hand every turn. I feel like if I'm holding a card, I'm probably going to discard it at the end of the turn because I couldn't use it, which means I don't need it.
Yeah, drawing up to a reserve is kind of like from the Star Wars where you get to refill your hand every turn. So I'm just like, there's more good stuff in my deck. Let's get this out of my hand.
But as like lifelong card game players, you understand the value of card draw, and not every player really does. Like, even playing Magic with people who've been playing for a few years, they don't understand how much of an actual valuable resource the ability to draw a card is. So the fact that you get to fill your hand at the end of your turn, it totally makes you want to spend as many as you can, and then, like Crimson was saying, just discard, unless it's super pivotal to whatever's happening at that moment or whatever you know is coming down the pipe, you know.
Yeah, what you just said is the most revolutionary thing about this game. I can't believe we haven't talked about it yet, but card draw is important. And in this game, cards are resources. Like, there's no fiddly little resource tokens for you to say how much money you made every turn. Like, the cards in your hand are literally the money you spend to play the card. So, like, holding onto a card is just like saving money, but you're going to get that free money every turn. So, like, I'm big on just burn everything in your hand.
And unlike Magic, you don't have to whiff 5 or 6 turns in a row and not get your resources, which is the most frustrating thing and the most asinine design space, or the most asinine design decision in any card game ever, in my opinion. Like, the mana screw and mana burn in Magic is probably the most frustrating card game element of all time. So the fact that you can, that every card in your hand not only is a resource because it has an effect in the game, the fact you can discard it to play cards, there's that risk versus reward on is this card more valuable to me as a resource right now, or do I need to play it right now? Like, it just seems that there's so many decisions to be made, but that because it's so fluid, you're not, it's not bogging the game down with like, oh, what am I going to do? And your turn takes forever. It seems like it's quite a fast paced game. And once you get into the flow, you just kind of know what you're going to do with your deck, you know?
Yeah. And I can guarantee you, if Wizards could redo Magic, it would not have the resource style that it has now. In fact, most of their games that they have released since Magic have not had lands as like, in the aspect that we know of it in Magic, because it can be very off-putting to get mana screwed or mana flooded. Unfortunately, Magic is so ingrained that it's something they cannot change anymore.
Yeah, some of my favorite games, like, you can get resources you play face up that are special, or if you don't have like a good resource in your hand, you just put a card face down and it counts as like a generic resource.
Wow, TCG.
Exactly. Vow TCG versus system, both the old and the new, you just put things in your resource row every turn. And kind of like Hearthstone, right? You're just gaining a crystal every turn. You can ramp into more crystals. But so what are you most excited about for Marvel Champions? And is there anything you think you want to talk about on a monthly basis? Is there like a segment you want to talk about, the new pack, or like speculation, or how like the cards in the pack fit into the Marvel IP? What are you most excited to tease our viewers with?
For me, and the area that I'd want to talk about the most is probably going to be optimization of playing the game. I'm more of a competitive player than I think both of you guys are. I really want to be able to bring the technical into the aspect too. Knowing your aspects are going to be insanely valuable. Again, draw is life, and knowing what cards to pitch and what cards to not pitch. When deck building, a big thing that I see a lot of people do is either they put 3 Avengers Mansions into their deck, or they put 0 Avengers Mansions in the deck. I'm on a firm standing right now, 2 Avengers Mansion, 1 Helicarrier, due to the fact that you can have both an Avengers Mansion and a Helicarrier in play, but you don't want to draw a bunch of Avengers Mansions late game once you've already got one down.
I feel the same way technically. I do a lot of technical work. I'm on the 2-1 split right now as well. In fact, I like to have a lot of those locations out so that I can thin my deck. So the next time through, I get a lot of like new and good cards on my second time through my deck. What I'm excited to talk about is like super, I won't call them gimmicky, but like tricky combo decks. I'm like a combo deck player. I mean, I will lose with my deck 100 times and be happy if my combo goes off once. So you'll see me talk about decks where if I get these 6 cards in my hand perfectly, the whole game is different and it'll be really exciting.
So we have a Spike, a Johnny, and a Timmy.
More of a Johnny. I like to make combos too. But I like the flavor though. That's my favorite thing. Like when something goes off and it's just like, it's exactly like something that happened in the comics, like that backflip. Seems like the greatest thing ever. Isn't that? That's the Spider-Man card, right?
Or that new Captain Shield block. Whew.
Yeah, super exciting.
Yeah, that looked great. Or hit the shield toss, how you can hit multiple foes with it, depending on how many cards you discard. That seems like a great, like, freaking awesome design.
I also like to do challenges. So I like to come up with, like, a unique challenge for viewers or for us. Like, build a deck that, you know, has this penalty in it, but makes you have to think outside the box. That kind of stuff's fun to me.
Yeah, don't you have a history in making challenges?
I did in Star Wars Destiny for a while. I had people try to like make the best deck they could with like Corset Heroes and sorts of stuff like that. It was super fun. So we'll probably do some fun stuff like that here, monthly challenges. And if you guys want to give us a challenge, listeners, if you want to pick an aspect and hero for Crimson to play as and for I to play as, we could team up and do a TTS video sometime playing as whatever aspects you guys, you can punish me and make play leadership. I like pretty much exclusively play leadership on Twitch and YouTube. Sorry. So make me play something outside my comfort zone.
Yeah, and I'm a justice player all the way.
Got it. Aggression and protection. We're going to be crying.
No aggression, please.
What are you excited to talk about, Lester?
I think we should definitely talk a bit about the comic books, because that can add to speculation, you know, like what's being released. Just a little bit. You're a comic book nerd. I'm a comic book fan. So I think that's something that would be neat to talk about. But I, like I said, I'm going to approach this mainly as a solo player. So I'd like to really explore that space with for people pretty deeply and kind of give 2 cents worth or whatever.
Awesome. So we're going to wrap up today's show. Thanks for listening in and learning about us and why we're excited about Marvel Champions. You've now heard about our first appearances through card games, tabletop games, comic books, and in Marvel Champions itself. So we're hyped for the show, for the game. Tune in next month. We'll talk and do a deep dive in the core set. Maybe we can talk about our favorite hero and aspect pairings, which ones we think are the most challenging and the most exciting to play as. And in general, we're just going to gush over how excited we are for this game, because it's going to be over and the game's going to be coming out. So,
enough said.
Nah, just if you want to see any of my videos, head over to mediocregamers.com.
And definitely check us out on the Discord. We're all on the Marvel Champions LCG Discord. So if you want to learn how to play Tabletop Simulator, just reach out. I'm on a couple nights a week, usually playing something, whether it's this game or a different one, so I can always jump in and do a learning game with people. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.